And welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here with a new episode. This is a little bit different than our other previous episodes. We have four different speakers that I recorded at different times. And it is a discussion of kind of the background work that goes on a city level for bike and pedestrian infrastructure, and kind of discussing with different places around the state and how they are improving accessibility for cycling and pedestrian. And I really hope that you enjoy this discussion with these four individuals. I have two mayors as well as two government employees that work really hard every single day to bring trails, safe streets, connecting communities, as well as just bringing great awareness to hopefully a town near you. My first speaker today is somebody that I met around 5 or 6 years ago, and I didn't really actually meet him. I just watched him work and do the wonderful things that he does. But this mayor is an incredible, passionate human being that is transforming his community alongside with the city of Lebanon and their bike park. And if you haven't tuned in to our past episode about Stoneater Bike Park, please, you know, flag that, star it so you can listen to it later. But it kind of ties in with what this mayor is talking about. So here we go. All right. And good morning. Margaret B. here from Bicycle Indiana, Baroskas, if everyone wants to know how to pronounce my last name. I've got some really great discussions ahead, kind of a 2-3-part series with some kind of government employees that I think are going to be some really great information about infrastructure as well as walk and bike pedestrian kind of discussion. So welcome, Mayor Matt Gentry. I'm really excited for you to be on the call and taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Margaret. Appreciate it.
So I'm going to just dive in and have you kind of talk about yourself and who you are and kind of your experience and where you landed this, you know, position as mayor.
Yeah, sure. Matt Gentry, I'm the mayor of Lebanon. I've been mayor since I was elected in 2015. So this is my 9th year as mayor now. A lot of changes in my life since that happened. I've gotten married and had two kids. So I've got two kids, a almost 2-year-old and a 4-year-old right now. So, I ran for mayor back in 2016, frankly, because I was looking for someone else to run for mayor and couldn't find anybody that was willing to do it. So I guess I'll do it myself and knock on a lot of doors and people elected me. So, for me, it's been an exciting time to certainly be the mayor. A lot of things happening in Lebanon. But, you know, the driving force for me always has been of, you know, how do we move Lebanon forward into a place where my kids will one day want to raise their own families? Right. And so how do we kind of make that change over time? And, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? So it takes time to do all these efforts. And but certainly as a younger person, you know, I was elected when I was 25 when I won the primary, and now I'm 35. And so it's been a long position, right? But obviously being younger, I've been able to kind of really focus on how do we incorporate pedestrian and bicycle activity into kind of how we're designing and focusing on how we're building our community and connecting it through that.
Well, I want to take a moment to give you even more kudos because I've been watching you for the past, that sounds creepy. I've been watching you. I have been monitoring and watching your work for the past at least 4 or 5 years because of NYCA and the new bike park that's out by you. Mm-hmm. And I am always blown away. And I tell Kevin Krulik, your city engineer, who's a friend, I love watching what you're doing. And you're an incredible example of just drive and passion and just hard work. So kudos to you and what you're doing. Yep. And like I said, I tell everyone, you know, to look at what you're doing out in Lebanon because it's special. And I think Mayor Sackbun is very similar and I appreciate the work that he's already doing. And I'm excited to kind of talk to you and to him about kind of the different areas. Cause we are, Terre Haute's a whole different area, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's you know, actually, I mean, obviously, Tarot, it's a lot bigger than Lebanon, but I would say, you know, there's a lot of similarities, right? They're older towns, right, that have established infrastructure, and so, you know, for a long time, certainly since, you know, post World War II, we've been prioritizing the car so much.
Yeah.
You know, how do we kind of rewind the clock a little bit and start integrating, being more pedestrian focused and being more bicycle kind of aware and incorporating that into, you know, the whole community development perspective, right? And how do you connect us? And so that's really something I think about a lot of when it comes to development and the approach to development. And, you know, I ascribe a lot of the strong towns kind of approach of, if you guys are familiar with that, but a lot of things like that, that are, how do we, you know, try to undo maybe some of the missteps of the past to fix it going forward, right? So people that live in Lebanon 25 years from now, it's just part of their how they operate here and how they live here.
Sure. Yeah, I'm originally kind of from the Detroit area, and I moved mm-hmm. about 8 or 9 years ago, and I was blown away at the difference. Obviously, it's much quieter here in Terre Haute, but I've always kind of watched that or noticed that it's a very agricultural focused town in mm-hmm. the history and the roads and even like the mining roads that are out far into mm-hmm. the rural areas. And it's just a different kind of world for bike and pedestrian.
Yeah, you certainly have to... Yeah, you have to get on your bike and you have to want to go somewhere on a
right.
bike. It's not the easy choice, right?
Right.
And that's kind of where that's harder, where that how it hasn't been part of the culture, where, hey, let's all just walk down to the corner store or hop on my bike, go to the park, whatever. You have to kind of retrofit these things. And that's not always easy to do, but I think we've come up with some good projects in the past where we've been able to kind of, you know, widen some sidewalks and things like that. We're doing some protected bike lanes in town as well too now. So it's kind of dipping our toes in the water and making some progress, I think, to get kind of our core built. So.
Well, you're doing it because I'm watching it. But let's kind of talk about some of your biggest accomplishments. It could be related to bike and ped or just bike, but what are some big things that we can let our listeners know that you've really worked hard on to get accomplished?
Yeah, I did the biggest thing, probably the thing I'm most proud of in my first term, you know, when I came in as mayor, you know, Lebanon's a county seat community, so courthouse square, all that. And it was a very sleepy place. You know, 4 o'clock, the county employees would leave from work. And the, you know, I used to say that the sidewalks would roll up and the tumbleweeds kind of roll in, right? There wasn't a lot going on. So my first term, we really focused on how do we revitalize our downtown square. And frankly, a lot of that came, you know, of course, we fixed all the infrastructure underground. You don't see the water and the sewer and all that stuff. But really focused on making it a pedestrian focused design and making it where incorporating the bike trail to connect that to the downtown that wasn't even built yet, but we knew it was going to be coming one day. So I think, you know, incorporating that kind of design of making it a place you want to spend time and feel safe, you know, walking around. You know, we had some kind of catenary lighting kind of for that kind of the feel of the downtown as well. And that's really just has produced so much fruit. You know, we've got great new restaurants and businesses down there. You know, now downtown is now like the place to hang out on a Friday, Saturday night now, whereas that didn't used to be the case. And so, you know, I knew we were successful when I started seeing kids taking their like senior pictures downtown and the lights and things like that. So it's like, you know, it's that connection, right, of that quaint small town kind of mixed with the all the amenities you want to see in other communities, too. So that's been a huge push for me. But you know, connecting the Big Four Trail all the way through town was a big push for me as well. My second term, we helped do that with a Next Level Trails grant from the state.
Yeah.
We were able to complete that. But, you know, also we've been investing tons in quality of life and quality of place and just connecting places, connecting people, connecting neighborhoods. That's kind of what we've been focusing on.
That's great. Don't give me specific data, but do you have general data and numbers and revenue that you're seeing an improvement and bringing into the city?
So I don't have it in front of me, but we certainly do have that specific data. But I would say, you know, just a feeling wise, right? I mean, I think people will tell you, you know, again, like back when I started, before we did the downtown the project, you know, it was a lot of lawyers' offices, a lot of insurance company, you know, title insurance, those types of companies downtown. And again, after, you know, there wasn't really a reason to go downtown after 5 o'clock. And now we've been able to, it really has extended that into the future. And we've got several new restaurants. We've got a microbrewery, a micro distillery, actually 2 micro distilleries downtown.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got a steakhouse place. We're having other discussions with some new things coming in as well. For a while, we had an ice cream shop. We've got a coffee shop under the works right now. So yeah, a lot of activity downtown, which is just totally transformed of how we, I think, of how people view the downtown. You know, for a long time, people would move down there because it was the cheapest place to rent down for a business. But then now it's become some of the most prime real estate. So it's kind of been a really big transformation of what we're doing down there.
Sure. I'm going to ask this question just so our listeners know. I know they can look it up on their phone, but could you kind of briefly describe where Lebanon is?
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah. So Lebanon's about 25 minutes northwest of Indianapolis, right along I-65. So we're the right in the center of Boone County, which, you know, Zionsville, Whitestown, your listeners may have heard of those places. You know, if you ever drive I-65, we're the ones with the big colorful bridge.
I've seen it.
A good landmark for people. Also home to probably one of the busiest Starbucks and McDonald's in the state sometimes.
Really?
Those get tons of traffic. So, we're right along I-65 and we're right to pretty close down to Indianapolis. Right. So it's kind of that, we've kind of been straddling kind of that rural suburban line for a while. And I think as Indianapolis is growing, you know, I think we're kind of getting brought into that much of that kind of suburban region in Indianapolis. Yeah. So how do we manage that transition is a big part of what I focus on as well, too. So, exciting town. And, you know, obviously we have the whole, from an economic development perspective, we've got the LEAP district going as well, too, which is a state-led initiative to kind of attract, industries of the future. So that's a whole nother discussion. But, you know, that's something else going on we've got here in Lebanon. And, like I said, exciting time to be the mayor for sure.
Definitely. And you heard it, Indiana, the busiest Starbucks and McDonald's in the state. So we got to go, right? Okay. And my next question is what do you think that even needs more work? You know, obviously you kind of discussed that already, but just specifically when it comes to, let's say, bike infrastructure, what would you like to see happen?
Yeah. So, we are, you mentioned our bike park we constructed, which we're having the ribbon cutting for that on October 25th.
I know. I'm excited.
For me, you know, long-term, obviously getting a bike trail connected to the park up there would be phenomenal. Yeah. We've done a great job getting the Big Four Trail through town.
Yeah.
Got kind of the gap though between us and Whitestown. So I think getting the Big Four connected all the way from Lebanon to Whitestown will be a big thing for us, which we have some development partners. I think we'll get that accomplished here in the near future. But that'll be a big, because what you'll be able to hop on a bike in Zionsville and go all the way up, you know, north of Colfax, which is in another county. So it'd be exciting for that. But also, you know, really I think a lot of it's just been a culture shift here of saying, hey, you know, identifying what our needs are from a bicycle perspective, and how do we then incorporate that into our, you know, when we're rebuilding a road, make sure we include the bicycle structure as well, right? So we along East Street, which was kind of had started right after I came into office, the previous mayor started the project, but you know, we were able to kind of, hey, let's pause, and instead of adding just a 5-foot sidewalk back, you know, let's, you know, East Street connects our kind of our major Northside Park and our downtown. So let's convert this five, you know, instead of having a 10-foot tree lawn and a 5-foot sidewalk, let's do a 10-foot path, right, with a 5-foot tree lawn. And that was kind of the beginning of how we started kind of incorporating this bicycle pedestrian infrastructure into our design. And that's been received super well, right? So I think that's kind of becoming a blueprint for us going forward as we're rebuilding roads, we're thinking about the non-car infrastructure as well, and incorporating that into how we lay out projects and how we connect them. And so I really believe in the power of using paths and trails, things like that, to connect neighborhoods, right? Because I think, you know, that's something I think that as a community, as you start to grow, you don't want to lose a kind of small town feel. And so if you can have a way where you can still hop on your bike and get downtown or hop, you know, walk down and see your neighbors, or, you know, I think that's something that's really important from a community that you have to kind of keep that top of mind, certainly.
Definitely. I referenced this on another call. Plainfield has a great trail system, and it's probably one of the best in the state. And I think it's great that other cities and, you know, other areas are doing that.
Yeah, we obviously get the Big Four. It's, you know, I always call the Big Four is kind of our major interstate for our bikes.
Yeah.
And then now we need to have all the loops, right? So all the loops and the trails that kind of feed and connect into the Big Four that allow you to, you know, my goal is one day to have everyone within a quarter mile of a trail. Is my goal for the city. So figuring out where those need to be, what those corridors look like, and then, you know, how do you layer in projects and structure those and to make sure that can get accomplished over the near future, right? Because it's something people want and some people look for when they're looking for a community to move to.
Definitely. I mean, that was the first thing I looked up when I moved to Terre Haute from Detroit. Mm-hmm. And we have maybe not so many trails as other areas, but we've got a beautiful bike park. So speaking of bike parks, yeah. I know we have a podcast just about Stone Eater Bike Park with Kevin and Nat Lopes, but I kind of wanted to get your input on it in a brief, you know, discussion about what you think and the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs of Stone. I know you've had a lot of ups and downs with that bike park.
Yeah, I had a chance to listen to that podcast. Kevin did a great job with it. And I'll give Kevin a ton of credit. I mean, he's been the champion for the bike park, so I'll give him a lot of the credit. It was easy for me to say yes when he presents it so well. So, you know, frankly, the story kind of starts actually one of my first couple of weeks in office. We got kind of a nasty gram from IDEM. Mm-hmm. They were like, hey, you cannot do anything at all to your old landfill. And we're like, can't dump leaves there, can't do anything there. And like, okay. Like, I didn't even know that was happening, but sure. Okay. And so, you know, for a while, I just kind of sat there and it kind of just started growing up. And, you know, but then over time we started saying, hey, you know, we've got this, you know, 100+ acre site, you know, really not doing anything. You know, and people obviously were clamoring for more parks, more activities, things like that. And, you know, Kevin's, you know, has a passion for mountain biking, and that's kind of where this kind of concept developed of, hey, let's solve an environmental issue, right, with an uncapped landfill that was, you know, kind of, you know, on IDEM's radar as a bad situation, and then, you know, use it for good, right, and try to turn that into something positive. And that's kind of where the concept of the mountain bike park, along with, you know, you could use it for cross country running, things like that, and or walking out, and then kind of a more of a natural environment. That idea kind of developed. And so, you know, there were two projects. It was the cleanup of the landfill, but then it was also the creation of a recreation area. So we're really excited at where that project is taking longer than maybe we had planned initially.
Kevin's told
some interesting,
me.
You know, interesting stories. Again, refer back to your previous podcast.
Yeah, right.
There. But yeah, and it's, you know, some people were like, why are we doing this? Why are we even messing with this thing?
Yeah.
You know, you don't even know what's buried out there, Mayor. And I'm like, no, I mean, we do. It's just we need to make sure it's safe, right? And so, you know, so I think it's frankly a success story. And it was great to have IDEM actually at the groundbreaking for the park.
Yeah.
Right? Actually building all the trails because they've been a partner with us, an important partner. They obviously have their own processes they have to work through. And it's never been, you know, always in like my friends at IDEM, you know, I respect what they do. They're not, and I wouldn't say they're always known for their speed of getting to solve issues.
Yeah.
Of course they're focused on safety and protecting the environment. Of course we are too. And so that was a good, but you know, obviously going through that process was helpful. And I think we had a lot of good outcome from that. And again, just excited to see what used to be kind of frankly, a liability for the city now become a great positive and great amenity for the community going forward.
Definitely. And I think, and I told this to Kevin, I can't remember if I said on the call or not, but I think that this is a great example that now other places can use, you know, as reference to do something with, let's say, an area that is not being used.
I hope so. Because frankly, back, you know, for a long time, you know, a lot of cities had city dumps places, right? And, you know, they probably still own them and don't know what to do with them. And yeah, I do think it could be a model for a lot of communities to use it. And, you know, not necessarily saying all of them will be bike parks, right? I'm sure obviously you'd be biased and would love for them to be bike parks. But, you know, something that reflects the community and something that reflects, you know, something that they can do and to show them there is a path forward of dealing with these things that are maybe hard to deal with, you know, sins of the father, right? We can kind of fix those and make it better for going forward. And I think that's the thing that makes me excited most about the project.
Well, if we got enough snow here, and I know people don't like to say that word here, but in Michigan, like they would use old landfills for skiing and snowboarding. And we had one called the Trash Hill, and that was
Don't say the S word around mayors. we get the most complaints about usually. So yeah, I always hold my breath whenever we get snow in Indiana. Yeah, I know. Some people love it, but you know, your public works guys and your mayors, they
I'm sure
way less complaints. You don't get it. So
I'm sure. Okay, so my next question is what is your best advice for advocates like myself and other individuals that want to get things rolling and get things going, get it, pun intended? What was some advice for these bike and ped, you know, different people that want to get involved?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just, is showing your community and being involved in the process to show that there's a way to do it. Like, it doesn't have to be an either or, right? We don't just have to design cars or roads just for cars, right? You can show, hey, here's how we work within the right of way, and we can do a 10-foot trail, right? Something that we had here, that it takes time to change a culture, right? And I think right. certainly that was something that, I think my predecessor, he tried to start doing these sharrows and shared bike lanes. And they were like, well, we have all these bikes in the street and they're everywhere. That scares people, I think, initially, right? Until that's part of your culture of you have just bikes in your community. So I think having those separated paths, I think, is a great way to start, right? It's a great sure. way to, ease into some of the more of the bike culture. And I think that's something that I think, frankly, any community can do, right? Because your typical roadway is going to have probably 15 foot of right of way on the sides of the road. So, stop doing a 10 foot tree lawn, do a 5 foot tree lawn, a 10 foot trail. And that's a great way to start. So, and do that as they're rebuilding a road, right? And so it's not a, it's, I don't want to say build, they will come, but like, if you build it, like, more people use it than you realize, right? There is usually right. pent up demand for bike pedestrian, but they don't feel safe doing it, right? If it's not a safe environment, they're not going to do it, right? So it's right. it almost takes, you got to have the infrastructure in place to show people that there is a demand for it out in the community.
Yeah, I was at a big bike summit in DC this year, and they had this huge presentation from the Department of Highway and Transportation of how they've collected data of people feeling safe in different situations on bikes and not necessarily walking, but they had specific data on bikes, and only a certain population, like a percentage, will ride on an open road with cars. Right. And right. that to me was very eye-opening, because I'm yeah. one of those people. And I right. forget that a lot of people are like, I will only ride on trails.
Right. Right. And especially with a family, right. Young kids, sure. right. It makes it more accessible, right? Because like saying, hey, let's ride your bike in the road, and like, you just have to be comfortable with that level of risk. Because frankly, it is a risk. Certainly drivers, especially in smaller communities, aren't used to having bikes in the road like that. And that's a hard thing to kind of get over, right? So I think that's where, start with those wider sidewalks. Frankly, I call it a path or a trail, right? But that's really what it is. It's really just a wider sidewalk. They cut this concrete a little different, so it's smoother for the bikes. But that's kind of a way to do it, I think, way to ease into it. And then that can really help, show people the value of them, and they can see the people start using it, because we start having people using it. They're like, oh, this does make sense. This is a better way to do it. So, right. yeah.
Okay. I got to ask. Only reason is because when I met Mayor Sackbun for the first time, he kind of yeah. joked, oh, I was one of 17 meetings he had that day. So yeah. I got to ask, what time do you wake up, and do you have 17 meetings per day? Like Brandon Sackbun?
I don't think I have 17 meetings, so I'll give Brandon a lot of credit for that. I have really good department heads. I can
well, that's good.
Brandon will one day learn. He'll learn to delegate some of those meetings to people that you don't have to be in every single meeting. No, you were my second meeting of the day. Every day, and what I love about being the mayor is that every day is different, right?
Sure.
Actually, the meeting right before this, we're having a great meeting about our downtown, kind of what we're working on down there right now. It's obviously a passion thing for me, but that's the best thing about being the mayor is that every day is different, and so you touch a lot of different ways to your community, and there's a lot of impact you can have. And so, sometimes the younger mayors start getting overwhelmed because a lot of people want to meet them, and they want to pitch their business and things like that. Of try to, but eventually he'll find his way. I bet he'll start figuring out his calendar a little bit better. But there's a lot of things to do, and obviously, if a mayor. You got to have time to work too, right? You can't just be in meetings all day, because you want to actually start getting some things done. And so you need time where you're working on what's your vision for your community, and how do you execute that? Think about ways to challenge your department heads to think outside the box a little bit, and push them. Because again, if you get a good team around you, that's the biggest thing you can do as a mayor, is have a really good team that you can let them do their work, and you do your work, and you're all pushing the same direction, and you are accomplishing big things.
I think also Brandon wasn't sleeping. He must not have, because he said he started at like 5 a.m. and then he just kept going all day long. And I saw all the social media where he's out at all these events, and I'm like, yeah. How do you do it, dude?
And I will say too, it was easier when I was a single guy as well, like Brandon is now. When I was 26, 27, I was probably doing that. But now married, two kids, it gets a little tricky with all that stuff, but I've But you know, it just gets a little harder when you got other commitments too. So
I think he's got a baby on the way.
But
I think he does. Yeah, maybe. So I do know that you two are probably the youngest, right? Mayors in the state. Is that correct?
Oh, I try to keep trying to remember. Yeah, he probably is. There was a mayor for a little while. He was younger than me. Well, Mayor Josh Morrison Greensburg. He's younger than me as well too. Okay. So. You know, people forget, you know, I was elected at 26, but I get older every year, just like everyone else.
You do. And that's okay.
There's some younger mayors are floating around as well, too. And they're all doing great jobs. They're all passionate for the community. But sure. Yeah, and I was even the youngest ever. Mayor Mick Barnes in Frankfurt. He was 23 when he was.
Wow. 23. Yeah, so. Well, yeah, kudos to you.
I was old pro at 25.
You were. I'm just giving Brandon a hard time, but he'll probably listen to this and be like, Margaret, come on. Okay, two more questions and I promise I'm done. What is your favorite memory overall? Not just bike and pedestrian, but what has been your favorite memory? I know that's kind of tough to put you on the spot there.
Yeah, you know, a project I really loved that was really kind of emotionally impactful for me was we actually had when we had the ribbon cutting for our first ADA inclusive playground for our community. Mm-hmm. That was really thrilling for me because, you know, I had been and reached out by a grandmother. And frankly, I could just kind of, you know, it was by email at first. And I could just hear from the emotion in her email to me of how upset she was. And, you know, she had a granddaughter that, you know, was in a wheelchair and just couldn't use our playgrounds. Right. Yeah. I could hear the pain, right. Of, you know, her granddaughter couldn't use our playgrounds. She had mulch and things like that. She couldn't access them. So that for me was a really cool day, really exciting, and just being able to provide that amenity to the kids in our community that weren't able to access it before was really impactful for me. And so, you know, seeing that of where you can take that, you know, it all started with one email. Yeah. Because of that email from that committed grandmother, you know, now we have, you know, of course, a playground for her granddaughter, but also other kids in the future, right, that will come after her granddaughter that can use and play with their friends and be able to use those facilities. So that was a really exciting day for me. Just personally, I would say frankly, showing the power of what an engaged citizen can do. Right. Because, you know, they're, you know, you can, as long as you're listening to your constituents and you can do see the benefit of the change you can make in their life. And, you know, it's probably a small thing maybe to someone a kid using a playground may feel like a small thing, but for that grandmother, for that granddaughter, you know, that probably was a huge impact for them, right? Until it changed how they feel and how they relate to their community. And so trying to just layer all those things together is important for me. So
definitely. Yeah. I mean, I kind of joke with Kevin Crew, like, you know, he met me on a rainy day at Brown County and that started the whole thing of Stone Eater Bike Park when he asked me, hey, you want to help me build a bike park? And I thought, I have no idea, but I'm going to figure it out.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yep.
So last question, what's next? What's next on the big, maybe just today? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I got a full day here. I've only got six more meetings thing after this. So not 17, but, you know, I politics is a weird business to be in, right? You know, I'm focused on being the mayor. I'm planning to, I have announced this is my last term as mayor, right? So I'm really just trying to as much accomplished as possible before December 31st, 2027.
2027, that seems so far out, right?
It does, but it sneaks up on you. I can't believe it's been 9 years already. So frankly, I'm focused on trying the best I can for a mayor right now. And, you know, come what may, we'll see. You know, I always joke, obviously I've been doing this since I've been 26. So it's like, you know, I don't necessarily want to be when I grow up yet. You know, I haven't really had to make that decision. So we'll cross that bridge, you know, at a later date, I guess.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier on the call, I'm always blown away at what you're doing and what you continue to do. So please keep up the amazing work. I appreciate you taking some time to kind of dive into a little bit of the ins and the outs of being mayor, but also what you're doing in the city of Lebanon. So like I said, keep up the great work and I will edit this and get it out to our listeners. So
awesome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Let's switch gears and switch the discussion to my local mayor, which is Brandon Sackbun. He is a very passionate individual who is working very hard in the city of Terre Haute to change and improve the lives of the residents. So enjoy this discussion.
So again, really excited for you to be here. Life Behind Bars is a podcast that I started for Bicycle Indiana that talks about people like you doing great things across the state of Indiana or locally for bike and pedestrian, but mostly bike infrastructure and things around the state. So let's start off. Welcome to the call, to the podcast. How about you introduce yourself, Brandon?
Yeah, thank you. I'm Brandon Shackman. I'm the 43rd mayor of Terre Haute, Indiana. And before I was mayor, I was in the military. Before I was in the military, I was at Indiana University. And during my time there is when I hopped behind Cervelo S2 is what I used to ride, all black SRAM components, of course, with zip. One zip 404, one zip 202 on the front. And I fell in love with cycling. I was not by any means very, very good. My teammates and my fraternity were significantly better, but I enjoyed being out on the road. That love for cycling continued on to the military. I did sell that bike and I moved to a Scott frame, a little bit cheaper, not as nice, unfortunately, but I still try and get out when I can. Of course, in this role, I haven't had a lot of time, so I haven't even gotten out this year, but I love cycling. I love, you know, the outdoors, walking, pedestrian safety, but also tying all those into public health.
Yeah.
To help improve our state and community's public health rankings.
That's great. So I have a list of questions, and I might add some more as we continue to talk. But my first one is when did you know you wanted to become mayor? Like what went through your brain?
Yeah, well, you know, one reason why I'm a strong supporter of public education is here in the Vigo County School Corporation, I had some really good teachers, especially in elementary school. I remember some of the books that I read, some of the conversations that I had, and I did not know what the mayor was. And a really, really big election then, you know, the Kerry Bush stuff, and just kind of saw politics and read a little bit about the city and thought, wow, wouldn't it be great to serve my community?
Yeah.
But you also need to watch what your kids watch on TV, because I watched Black Hawk Down. and then I would go on to serve in Bravo Company, 3rd Ranger Battalion in the 75th Ranger Regiment. So, you know, I always say from very early on, you know, I wanted to serve the community, whether in the capacity of mayor or in education, just in some capacity focused on the community. And I did want to serve in the military. Loved my time in the active duty forces. And now I'm still in the National Guard. It means a lot to me to be able to defend the nation when she needs it.
Sure. I said this to Mayor Matt Gentry, too. I give you extreme kudos and just praise for the work that you're doing. I know you jumped in and you aggressively, you know, planned and started doing the things that you're doing right now. And I applaud you for your great efforts and passion. And I think I hope our listeners can hear this and really see the work that you're doing. So kudos to you. So the next question that I have as mayor, what are your current plans for, I guess, bike and pedestrian infrastructure for specifically Terre Haute?
Yeah, so that's a good question. This is where it gets fun. So you've got the Metropolitan Planning Organization side, right? Which is always working on those 30, 40, 50 year plans for bike trails, sidewalks, infrastructure. That's a little bit more long term. Here in the city, we started the Terre Haute Sidewalk Initiative, where one, we've increased our sidewalk budget from $400,000 to $700,000. We are starting by connecting neighborhoods and communities closer to grocery stores and parks. That's kind of our initial step.
Yeah.
We do see a lot of schools located around them, too. So we are hitting education in that front. But before we do that, we're mapping all of our roads with sidewalks and without, using data and software to help drive funding discussions. You can drive by a street with no sidewalk or a bad sidewalk and say, hey, that needs a sidewalk, right? But to be able to strategize a long-term plan surrounded on pedestrian safety, we are getting some data to help drive those discussions. When it comes to cycling, we did the easy stuff this year. Repainting our bicycling lanes and our, you know, the little bike pictures on the ground.
Sure.
But we got to do better about integrating trails and connecting them. The big project is connecting Riley to Ray Park, which is in city limits. That's through the Next Level Trail Grant Program. We start our portion of that trail later next year and into 2026. which will be a huge win for cyclists and runners, bringing them from one end of town all the way into the city. But, you know, we've got a long way to go. Rose Holman Ventures and their new Innovation Grove were very supportive of that project because it includes pedestrian trails, connecting the Heritage Trail behind Rose Holman to Dobbs Park in a safe manner. Pedestrian bridges as well. You can ride your bike on the pedestrian bridge. It's fine. Those are two of our larger projects that connect our trail system that are like shovel ready, funding being allocated or being applied for. Long term, you know, it's difficult, right? Like we've got a lot of sidewalks to nothing and bike trails to nothing that aren't connected. So before you do a lot of expansions, you've got to do some connections.
Yeah. So that was kind of a second part of my question, or what are the struggles? And you just talked about how bike paths or sidewalks just end. I'm from Detroit, and when I moved here, I noticed that there wasn't a lot of bike paths and a lot of sidewalks. And I don't know if it's just my observation or what I've heard from talking to people, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but we're a very agricultural focused town. And do you think that has something to do with maybe how the city was built and how the roads were, you know, structured?
I would say agricultural and manufacturing.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you see in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, as the workforce evolves and manufacturing productivity continues to increase, but the total quantity of jobs decrease in manufacturing because of technological changes and efficiencies. That's why it's very important for communities like Terre Haute to kind of almost go back to their roots of a strong downtown, embracing the river, chasing density. Because here's what the problem is. We saw this in 19, really right around the 70s. America went from like a one car household to a two car household. I'm fairly certain you're going to have to check me on this, but the average cars per household now is like 2.2 or 2.3.
Okay.
I don't know how you could have 0.2 of a car. Bottom line, cities started to go. And if you can't see me because this is audio, imagine my hands are kind of creating a circle here.
Okay.
So cities went out and the circle expanded instead of up. So instead of doing like three-dimensional growing, we did two-dimensional growing.
Right.
That is difficult. You're adding more sewage pipes, more water lines, more electricity, more roads, more streets. And this sprawl away from centers like your downtown is actually significantly more expensive for municipal government and state government to improve, to manage. And that's why I love, you know, proponents of density and using quality of life and placemaking projects and density to really refill the inside of Terre Haute instead of just letting it die out.
What I love about your approach to things, and one, how you explain things, you're a great educator, first off, but I just love how you approach it almost like a business-like, you know, approach where there are moving parts and they all have to work together to function.
Yeah. And, you know, that's my love for local government, though. You know, local government is where it all rolls down to local government, right? And you've got to do something or you can choose to not do something. And it's not as theoretical as the state level, definitely not as theoretical as the federal level.
Yeah.
You know, there is some federal legislation, even in presidential administrative decisions, executive decisions that people will not see for years to come.
Right.
Right. And those are some transformational conversations, which, of course, lead to hours of debate and frustration. But what I love about local government is, you know, if someone calls and is struggling getting a handicapped parking spot in front of their house because our zoning is so archaic and says if you have a garage in the back of your driveway, you are not eligible for that.
Mm-hmm.
We can literally just walk out there and say, no, we need to do a variance. Because she can't park in her garage.
Right.
Because one, it needs torn down. And two, just get this woman a handicap sidewalk and let's update our zone.
Right. So
you can change someone's life for the better. And it might not be as transformational as like a federal or state legislation, but you can go to bed at night saying, hey, did I actually do something to improve the community that embraced my family, that helped raise me, that I love?
Right. And you're doing it. So that's a perfect transition into my next question is, what are some of the great positives that you've had happen here in Terre Haute in the city with bike infrastructure. I mean, obviously the Riley Spur is a huge accomplishment. Spring Hill, are you so excited that Spring Hill Road is now officially open? As you shake your head. Hill,
and that's one that, so it's in the state, it's in the county, not the city.
Oh, right.
And so many people will call and be like, hey, when's it opening? I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. It's not up yet, but here's why.
Yeah.
But you know, more importantly, what I am seeing is the trail conversation being synchronized with our parks department and our parks master plan.
Yeah.
And the parks department finally, you know, doing a good job working with the city planner and city engineering, who also work with the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is a subcomponent of federal government doing this long-term planning. That is the difference, because that level of synchronization you might not see a ton more next year.
Right.
Like, what's going on? But building a 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 year plan, identifying some federal funding opportunities, some state opportunities. Okay, this is a parks project, but if we tie it in this way, it's actually a trail, which is pedestrian safety and bike safety. That is, you know, when we're going from good to great. And what I love about the job, because you can, you know, we've got Earth and Bike Park. That's good. We've got some really nice trails coming in, right? We've got Rose Holman that's finally getting, you know, connected to Dobbs Park and Heritage Trail. Would I love to see a crit race in downtown Terre Haute? Yes. But I'd also like to keep planning and watching trails morph and evolve.
And you, not you specifically, I should say Luke, who is a friend, who is an engineer, who's working with the city and with you, I believe, on this 5-year plan of trail connectivity. I think that's a great project. And I know you've already touched base on it a little bit, but I really think it's an incredible idea and bringing people together to work together to bring connectivity to the park systems. Do you want to go a little bit more into that, or is that too much of a topic for one short call?
You know, no, I do think it's worth getting into, because, you know, things like property tax caps and competing budgets and requirements really affected the Parks Department the last 2 decades. Mm-hmm. But moving forward, you cannot have a city that only is really pouring time, energy and investments into 3, maybe 4 parks. Right.
Right.
That negatively affects not just public health rankings, but how the city grows and evolves at large. So trying to find ways to connect communities to parks, or, you know, one park to another park, that is how we are going to start to slowly address some of these decades-old problems that we've been facing.
Right. And I think it's a great start. And that survey that I took for being a city resident about how to make Terre Haute safer and connect better as a whole, I think was a great, hopefully you get some good data out of that.
Yeah, it should be pretty good. I have seen a lot of the initial results, and there's still some more coming in. I really like the data. I do like when we get it in like phases, so mm-hmm. I can look at it and say, wait a second, just for this example, maybe only women over 65 filled it out. So now we need to market this survey to millennials, males, females, just to get that full assessment from the population. And so we're doing some of that to make sure we get everybody's input. But it does, I mean, it drives multi-million dollar financial discussions.
Yeah.
You can operate in the city without talking to constituents. You probably won't last very long, right? But if you have conversations with constituents and figure out their priorities, make sure it's all nested and synced, you can look at them and say, hey, yeah, we can do that this year. Or you can say, hey, based off of your question, this is unfortunately not a local government problem that we can address. Or you can say, I concur with you. I agree with you.
Sure.
And unfortunately, we don't have the funds this year, next year, or the year after, but maybe 4 years from now.
Right. And looking at the bigger picture, and the Deming Tracks has been a project that I've been trying to work with Luke, and just getting data and information about these set of tracks. And for our listeners, there's a set of old tracks that is still used, but it's on an angle that's just really wonky for cyclists.
Horrible
angle. Yeah. And a lot, and there's rotten wood
on those tracks.
Yeah. And so
personally fallen on my bike.
And it's a scary intersection, because it's a lot of fast traffic and there's no real way to get from north to south in Terre Haute. And so anyway, I hope that that can be part of your five-year plan and kind of using our data that we, you know, obtained from the city or from our residents to help you in that goal of maybe making those tracks safer for riders. So my next question, it is, what advice do you have to give to somebody that wants to start, you know, advocating or get involved and help in any way in these types of projects or whatnot? What advice would you give?
It's really good. So I think, you know, one, it's finding your passion, right? Like, what is something that you really want to get out of bed and say you want to work on and focus on? So make sure it's truly a passionate issue that you care about and not just something that you're mad about today or tomorrow. Right. And really think about that. Second is do some initial research, right? Like, is this a county versus city project or a state level initiative or a federal level initiative or conversation? Yeah. And then while you're doing that research, identify some of the individuals who either A, represent you or B, are on the executive side, right? Like the governor or the mayor or the president that could help affect this issue. And I get it all the time. I, you know, walk in or I get a phone call and folks are frustrated and I'm like, I completely agree with you. Or sometimes I disagree with them, but I can't do anything about that in the capacity that I serve you
in. Right. Right.
So, you know, definitely, you know, identifying kind of a map of the players in the space and then ensuring that the space that you're playing in is something that you're 100% passionate about and really going to pour your heart and soul into. Because it's a long endeavor.
I'm sure.
You've been working on cycling for a long time, right? And it's like, oh my gosh. And we're just now seeing the Riley Trail. And for a lot of people, it's like, yes, it can be frustrating and it doesn't happen overnight. You know, but I always think to myself, like, yeah, but I want the next 28-year-old mayor to walk in and be like, no, this is what can be accomplished.
Right.
So it's, a lot of it is generational building.
Well, speaking of age, I feel like you aren't the youngest. I think Matt Gentry said that the youngest mayor was like 23 or 20 something.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But you are also very young.
Youngest. Huh? I think I'm like the third or fourth youngest.
Yeah. But my next question is, because I've had discussions with the city of Lebanon as well as the city of Carmel. I hate to compare Terre Haute to these two cities, but what makes Terre Haute different than the city of Lebanon and the city of Carmel?
Well, when it comes to bike stuff. Since Mayor Gentry's been in at Lebanon, I think he got in like 2015. That city is doing well. And I'm happy to see him on the set list as well. And Sue Finkham up in Carmel is doing great things. Where I think, you know, Carmel, for example, is a little bit different than Terre Haute is, you know, they've got great opportunities to connect to other cities, right? Like, that's a pretty unique opportunity. Whereas with us, it's like, okay, we've got a lot of land around the county. So if you are like a true road cyclist, you're only going to do so much urban cycling before you're at a state or county road and you're getting your miles in, right?
Right.
Like a little 500 rider at Bloomington's only doing a few miles in from their dorm or their house, getting out, right? Getting out to Hoosier National Forest or to a county road. So I think where the city of Terre Haute's doing really well is something like the pedestrian and bike trail taking you from the east side of our community, which is the city of Terre Haute, to the west side, which is West Terre Haute.
Right.
That is a huge positive advance. I mean, I've ridden on a couple of routes out there that have gotten a little bit sketchy over the years, but now it's like, no, I'm good. I've got this pedestrian bridge and someone's not going 55 miles per hour around me. And that's only going to get better as we connect Riley to Ray Park.
Yeah.
Now my dream is, can we connect Ray Park to the Wabasigi?
Yeah.
Even if it's just a single bike marking alongside of a road, like now just imagine if you took Margaret all the way to First Street, take First Street up to the Wabasigi and you're good. And just do a protected lane on First Street.
Absolutely.
That's where I think, you know, Terre Haute's really going to get good for urban cyclists. Well, I mean, if you classify Terre Haute as super urban, but still, like, for a cyclist who've done it a lot, they're going to start noticing those things.
Yeah. The utilitarian kind of side of it, of commuting and transportation, alternative transportation. So the last time I was with you, we met, it was, I don't know, I think like a year ago, you had 17 meetings that day. God bless your heart. day in the life of a mayor of Terre Haute. What's your life? What's your day look like? I kind of joked with Mayor Matt Gentry, and he kind of said, I don't have 17 meetings like Brandon, but what's a day look like for you?
So, you know, I wake up Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and some Wednesdays, not every Wednesday, at 4:45. go to Stan's Fitness Center with a group of older friends, just guys from in and around the community, and knock out my workout routine. I do try to get to the office by 7 or 7:15.
Okay.
I'm kind of a creature of habit, right? Like I pretty much have the same breakfast every morning, 4 eggs over easy, Greek yogurt, and 3 to 4 days a week, I'll have 2 pieces of bacon, low sodium with that. I do start meetings as early as 7. Like I will do a coffee meeting if someone's available. My best work time in theory, if you call it work, but just office stuff, looking at budgets, planning for city council meeting, communicating over email to lobbyists or other partners in the community is really 7 to 9, 9:30.
Okay.
Once 9, 9:30 hits,
that's when you're
meeting, leaving the office for a meeting, back for a meeting. Now you got a lunch meeting. But you know, you've got to be in and around the community, meeting with individuals.
Oh, and you are.
Businesses. So it's, you know, I usually work from that, you know, 7 a.m. time to 8 or 9 each night. And on the weekends, I try to limit how many events I go to, or else my wife would actually kick me out of the house. But she does go to a few events with me, 1 or 2, some dinners and stuff. But it's been fun.
That's great. No, I appreciate all your community involvement and what I see on social media. So you're doing an incredible job. So what's been the most rewarding thing? What's your favorite memory? Do you have one?
Ooh,
I know, it's a good one, isn't it?
You know, I think part of it with me is anything that really involves the youth in our community, right?
Sure.
We started a mayor's youth council that's designing a mini park and a splash pad in one of our quote neighborhood parks that literally just has a bench there.
Mm-hmm.
I do a program where I go around to our elementary schools, encouraging kids to read once a semester. And then I play pickup basketball with them at lunch.
Fun.
It's been a rewarding program. And now ISU men's basketball is going to join me on it this next spring. So that was an incredible time. But we're creating grants for educators to get classroom supplies and pursue experiential learning. So when it comes to the kids in our community, whether it's parks, whether it's reading, whether it's the school corporation, that's what makes me, you know, the most satisfied, right? Because life is difficult. Life's tough. And some individuals, sometimes they need one chance, two chance, or multiple chances. But if we can get it right with the next generation, that's when we can have a transformational change, not just on a community, but on a country. So giving the youth in our community not just opportunities for their voices to be heard, but to be loved and appreciated and cared for.
No, that's great. And, you know, in my heart, my previous work has been with getting kids on bikes, and it is very important to start young and get kids involved. So, all right. My last question is, what's next? What's next on the list? Not necessarily today, but just in general for Mayor Sackman, what's next?
You know, getting the city budget through the goal line, a lot of good projects for next year, and just continuing to progress the community forward. A lot of good housing initiatives we're doing. Obviously, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the sidewalk projects, but yeah, every day I just kind of ask my question, you know, have we done something today as an administration to help someone's life?
Sure.
Fighting day by day with a 4-year vision. And I certainly hope the next couple of years go as planned, and we really grow our community.
Absolutely. And I think you're doing an incredible job, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I think that's all I have, but from, you know, if you have any other input, please email me, but I'm excited to get this into the podcast, and I'll let you know when I post it.
This will be fun. You know, I thought I was going on, this is all things considered on national.
No.
For you, I got you.
So that's 2 discussions with 2 great mayors. I'll repeat, we had Mayor Matt Gentry of the city of Lebanon, as well as my local mayor here in Terre Haute, Brandon Sackbun. So stay tuned. We'll launch the next kind of discussion, which is with two government city employees in two different areas of the state that discuss a little bit more specifically when it comes to the bike and pedestrian kind of coordinator or director role in your city. So I hope you enjoy and stay tuned.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.